You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
We've got the power.
Mr. Speaker!
Mr. Speaker, can I have
this is State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares. State news and views that our people can use inside the legislature. Going from Main Street to the State House, you will hear it first right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio the way it should be heard.
President Pro Tem, I'd love to speak. Mr. Speaker, Governor, I'd love to ask you a question.
I disagree with the governor on this issue.
I agree with the governor on
this issue. This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are on State News and Views here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. And I've got three wonderful guests. We are again following the order of business to focus in on Recovery Month. And so we've got three individuals who are doing their part to assist those in our community with behavioral health issues, mental health issues, substance use, addiction issues, and suicide prevention and assisting those families who are struggling as loved ones with the death of their loved one. I'm going to start with Carolyn Givens, who is the Executive Director of the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation. Carolyn has been the Executive Director for a number of years now. The foundation was launched in 2005 as a catalyst to bring about change in attitudes and perceptions regarding the stigma attached to suicide, mental illness, and alcohol and drug abuse and addiction. Prior to joining the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, she was the director of the Ohio Department of Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services, where she served at the cabinet level in a department and in various leadership roles throughout her 16 years of public service. She's a graduate of Ohio Dominican University and Harvard University's Program for Senior Executives in State and Local Government. Good evening. How are you?
I'm fine, Charlita. Thanks so much for inviting me.
You're quite welcome. And next we have Tracy Black Fall, who is the founder and executive director of Tova's Nest. She has a genuine commitment to advocate for those who live with mental health issues and co-occurring disorders. And this commitment stems from unconditional love for her daughter, Tova, who lives with bipolar disorder. Tracy and her daughter have developed a wonderful training compendium of training modalities for the faith and other communities throughout our state, as well as helping providers understand better how to work with communities of faith in recovery for individuals in our community. She graduated cum laude in 2006 from Columbus State Community College in Applied Science, and despite being given a dim prognosis of recovery from a brain aneurysm, she also is a graduate of The Ohio State University John Glenn Institute for Public Service and Public Policy Leadership 2000 Academy. She works very closely with me, and I'm so happy that you were able to join us today. Good evening, Tracy.
Good evening, Senator Tavares. I'm so glad to be here.
And finally, we have Gregory A. Jefferson. Greg Jefferson has over 20 years' experience developing and implementing youth programs, including 13 years at the State of Ohio in the Department of Youth Services. He's had a variety of positions as a corrections officer and then becoming the director of training within that system, and then was recruited at Community for New Direction, where he served 2 years, first as an associate director, and then he was appointed as a president and CEO in 2007. He is licensed by the state of Ohio as an independent chemical dependency counselor and a certified prevention specialist with a bachelor's degree in business administration from Fisk University in Nashville and a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling from The Ohio State University. And one thing I wanted to share about Greg that I didn't know, his greatest achievement is being an adoptive father, and his goal in life is to serve God through his service to others. And I welcome you, Greg, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I brought the three of you on because, as I shared, we're focusing in on Recovery Month, and we wanted to talk about all of the issues in the substance use, addiction, mental health, suicide, prevention, and services that we can provide to our community's members. So I'm going to open it up. Carolyn, if you would start and share a little bit more about what you're doing and why it's important that we have the Suicide Prevention Foundation.
Well, thank you, Senator Tavares. What the foundation has been doing for the last 6 years is laying an infrastructure in place for the state of Ohio to address the needs of survivors of suicide loss, so those who are bereaving the death of their loved one, as well as community members who need to better understand the stigma that is put in front of us when it comes to these neurological brain disorders of mental illness, depression, other health-related issues of addiction and suicide ideation. And so often, because of the stigma, our community members are not feel safe enough to go after the care that they need. So our goal is to educate folks in an awareness path on what the signs and symptoms of suicide ideation could possibly be, as well as work with our mental health and alcohol and drug partners at the statewide and community level to look at what those illnesses are and recognize those signs and symptoms. But we've also laid in place across the state 75 suicide prevention coalitions that are made up of stakeholders from around their community. It could be a mental health specialist, it could be the county coroner, a sheriff, a school superintendent, a teacher, a parent, a person who is experiencing mental health or addiction-related issues, survivors of suicide loss. And folks are coming together in these coalitions to look at an AIM strategy that helps us to be aware, to understand the interventions, and then the science and researches behind these particular illnesses that impact all Ohioans across the lifespan. We currently, as I said, we have 75 coalitions serving 82 of Ohio's counties, but by the end of the year, we're hoping to have all 88 counties covered with suicide prevention activities, and most recently have received a SAMHSA grant to specifically look at youth suicide prevention.
And I'm going to hold you there because I want to talk more about that grant as we talk about youth. I want to talk to Tracy. I want you to share more about Tova's Nest and the focus of your trainings.
We are really blessed to have a partner in the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence to provide a training to faith communities, including the clergy, the congregation, and other ministries within the faith community. And these trainings are education and awareness. We talk about mental health, suicide prevention. We talk about recovery, what it looks like. We define some of the terms that people often hear in the community and may not know what they mean. We have a module that talks specifically about stigma. And as Carolyn so shared with us, stigma keeps a lot of people from getting the services they need. And because there's this person, myself, who has a lived experience, because I also live with depression after suffering the traumatic brain illness, and Tova has, she lives with bipolar disorder, that familiar and that trusted face that we offer helps the audiences receive us in such a way that people often open up in ways that they may not have opened up to any other person.
Because that's important.
Yes, it's so very important. Through our works, we've seen faith communities now have mental health ministries. We currently, this fiscal year, started support groups in the faith community, because one of the things that happens is that people in the systems of care, in not understanding, I don't believe it's their intentions, they don't value and embrace the faith of people that live with mental health issues. We're very proud to have a wonderful group of volunteers, which are youth, family members, persons in recovery from mental health issues, disease of addiction, co-occurring disorders, and we all work together to bring the trainings throughout the state of Ohio. We've been very well received. Out of some of these works, we've built some great friendships also.
And that's important, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. I wanted to give Greg an opportunity to talk about Community for New Direction and the work that you're doing with our young people.
Well, Community for New Direction started 22 years ago in a two-bedroom apartment in Settlement Gardens Housing Development. And the need arose because for 4 years in a row, no kids graduated from high school. There was high drug trafficking, high drug abuse, and the community came together to say, what are we going to do to address these problems? And that was the start of Community for New Direction. It was a program in that two-bedroom apartment, and I was a volunteer mentor 20-some years ago and never dreamed that one day that I would be working at the agency.
Congratulations.
Yes. But our goal is to build relationships with kids and then provide a supportive environment for them to move in a positive direction in terms of increasing their social skills, their educational attainment. And we all know that without an education, our kids are doomed. And so along with those things, we know that kids are just facing so many stressors today. And we also provide just a supportive environment that allows kids to come in and talk to someone about the daily stressors that they're going through.
I appreciate all of you sharing a little bit about your organizations, and we'll get into some more detail about some of the work that you're currently doing. But I want to remind the listening audience that we are at 1-877-932-9766. That's 1-877-932-9766. If you have a question, if you want to get some more information, we are here to provide information that you can use to help yourself, your family, and your community. I wanted to go back to, Carolyn, you talked about the SAMHSA grant, and I know that is focused on youth. So if you could share some more about that grant and how that's going to help our community.
Right. We were just awarded the grant, and it started in August, and it's a three-year grant. We'll be receiving $480,000 each year of the grant, specifically for young people ages 15 to 24. And it's entitled the Ohio Campaign for Hope, Youth Suicide Prevention Initiative. And one of the things that we're looking at and what we've done, there's several segments to this opportunity for Ohio, but the foundation has purchased through Cognito Interactive the online gatekeeper training that we're going to put into every high school across the state of Ohio.
That's wonderful.
And it is our step in really trying to reach the 600,000 plus students and at least 20,000 educators in Ohio to give them the tools to better recognize when a young person is in distress and then to make the proper referral to care. And that's a step, I think, in providing Ohio, as well as our families and our youth, the quality that they need for a wellness track in their life. The other part of this is that we've highlighted the 26 counties in Ohio that have greater than average, national average and state average suicide rates. And those counties happen to be all over the state of Ohio. We have a concentrated effort to provide some mentoring, encouragement from other programs that have been a part of other initiatives with the foundation. So those programs, mental health providers, will be acting as mentors to counties that are dealing with suicide prevention for youth, maybe for the first time. And then the other part of the grant is for us to help at least 450 mental health professionals over the course of the 3 years get the training they need in assessing and managing suicidal risk. As much as our partners in the mental health field and the physical health care field care deeply for Ohioans, oftentimes they haven't been given the training tools or the education needed in behavioral health to recognize signs and symptoms. And, you know, 90% of our suicides in this country and in our state are attributed to untreated or undertreated depression, other mental illnesses, and addiction. So if we
and we're seeing that even right now with certainly a spike, an increase in the number of suicides and murder suicides or homicide suicides that are taking place. I just heard another one this morning on the news, and it's it's having the information so that we can do as much as we can to prevent and to give all of us, you know, providers of mental health services, physical health providers, primary care providers, and family and friends the tools so that they can learn to identify some symptoms.
That's right. That's right. And I think when we think about roughly about 1,400 people a year in Ohio complete suicide, of which about 148 of those are young people ages 15 to 24.
And can you give us a comparison with that number of completed suicides in the state of Ohio? And how that compares to other illnesses and diseases?
Well, it's what I can share with you is that for young people 15 to 24, it's the third leading cause of death in the state of Ohio. For all age ranges, it's the 11th leading cause of death. So you can well imagine that when you're in the top 10 for an age bracket, this is a major health issue. It's a public health issue, one that we often don't talk about, as we have discussed already today, that stigma keeps us from discussing this. But if we could start promoting behavioral health-related illnesses as illnesses, as health problems that are treatable, that recovery is possible.
And that it's not a deficiency of a person.
This is not a character flaw.
Correct. Greg, I want to follow up with you on this issue of prevention, because I know that's what Community for New Direction does with respect to our young people, and how this kind of a grant and the kind of partnership with organizations such as the Suicide Prevention Foundation will assist you in helping the young people.
Well, I think the first step for us is bringing about awareness, and that's why we were excited to partner with the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation. I ran into Carolyn probably about 2 years ago at a conference, and we just had a casual conversation, and I said, you know what, I think our kids need to hear more about this, because I'm sure that there are kids suffering, and they need to know that they're not alone. And so we began from that casual discussion, we set up an opportunity, and Carolyn came in and met with 30 of our high school students. And you might want to talk about that.
I'd like to. Yeah. Greg had me over about a year ago, and I had the delight of working with 30 of their high school students. And we had an hour and a half dialogue, which was, passionate for me, because I care so deeply for young people, but shared with them kind of my journey and how I got into this particular assignment that I believe my spiritual power has given me. And in doing so, we had a raw conversation about the stressors that young people are struggling with right now in this country, and particularly in our communities. We're such in a very fast-paced life right now that we oftentimes are two ships passing each other, if you will, in the seas, and oftentimes don't have that community involvement. And after this conversation, I had three young people come up and talk with me personally about, how behavioral health has impacted their life, and shared with me that they were happy to know at least that there was an adult, a caring adult, that had struggled with some of these same issues. And I think that's, what we know, at least research has told us, that if there can be one caring adult in the life of a child, it can make a difference in that child's life. And Community for New Directions does that on a daily basis. And my opportunity to kind of journey with them, I'm co-located currently.
And we're going to talk about that in our next segment.
Anyway, I'm co-located with Greg in his building right now, and I feel very much at home because we have similar goals for the kids that we serve.
Very good. Now, Tracy, I want you to talk a little bit more about you and your daughter and some of the exciting initiatives that you've undertaken, but we're going to ask you to just briefly share a little bit about Tova, and then we're going to take a break.
Okay. Long story short version. Tova lives with bipolar disorder at age 12, given a horrible diagnosis and a horrible prognosis. She later graduated Scholar Athlete of the Year after being told she couldn't do it, and she's off and running. And I'm very blessed to be given the opportunity to do what I do because of that journey.
Well, we're going to talk more about Tova and Tova's Nest coming up next.
Oil and gasoline prices are going through the roof.
Tell me about it. I can't afford to drive to the grocery store.
We've reached the tipping point, so I'm going to give you some tips that could save you hundreds of dollars a year on gas.
Tipping point? I've reached my clipping point. I feel like Ellen Scissorhands clipping all those coupons.
Tip number one, keep your tires properly inflated. You could save enough money to buy a gallon of orange juice every month.
Can do.
Tip number two, driving 60 instead of 70 on highways and not racing around town can buy you bacon and eggs every day.
Wow!
Tip number three, cut the idling, lower the AC, and ditch the junk in the trunk. That could buy you bread and butter, and maybe some grits.
You mean by driving smarter, I can eat breakfast free for a year? Wow!
For more wow tips for your pocketbook and the planet, go to the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can I substitute a prune Danish for the grits?
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dogfighting in America. I'm Wayne Pacelli, President of the Humane Society of the United States. Help us stop this cruelty by putting dogfighting out of business. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like,
"Don't make me turn this car around," or "because I said so," or "don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're walking alone. A group of people is hanging out just ahead. Suddenly, they surround you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
Before you know it, you're being robbed. It's called a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants, and it can be violent. In times like these, trust your instincts. Don't become their next victim. Avoid suspicious groups. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings. To learn more about pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares on TalkTainmentRadio.com, and the show is State News and Views. And I am joined by three wonderful guests who are doing an awesome job out in our community to assist our community's members with behavioral health and suicide prevention issues, ideas, and education. We were talking with Tracy Black Fall with Tova's Nest about her daughter Tova and the work that she and her daughter are doing in our community.
Well, I'd just like to share that how I really got into this work. I knew nothing about mental health issues at all. So when Tova was diagnosed, I took it very personal. I thought it was a reflection on my parenting. I thought it was a reflection on my lack of faith. And when I learned that through education and awareness that it had nothing to do with any of that, that she lives with a neurobiological disorder, it changed my perception of mental health. It also changed how I interacted with my child. Our world was shattered again when I suffered a brain aneurysm, and during the recovery, which was a normal part of the recovery after having something traumatic happen, I went through a deep depression. And through all of that, I feel I was given a rare insight into where a lot of our kids go, and they don't necessarily have someone who understands what they've gone through. They don't have someone who cares. And with that rare insight came this project, which later turned into an organization. I've been very fortunate and blessed to have people in my life from the system who are willing to work with me and help me grow and develop in this work. I also have learned that sometimes in people having good intentions, they're not always culturally competent. So for us, being an African-American family with a strong faith in the treatment plan, that was not only not valued, but we weren't allowed to bring any of our culture and our faith to the table, which ultimately did more damage than it did good. So in this work, and I'm going into the faith community to ask for more embracing, I'm going into the systems of care and asking them to be trained to be more culturally competent. And in going into the community, I'm sharing and educating the community to understand that our children are not bad children. If our children live with diabetes, high blood pressure, sickle cell disease, our approach would be very different. So I'm asking them to view these health issues as what they are, health issues. And I truly am seeing a turnaround. And when we have support groups, they're not traditional. We may spend time on subject matters that some might feel have nothing to do with mental health, like where to find resources in the community. Maybe a family is hungry. Maybe the family needs to find a good doctor. To me, identifying resources and helping families to have access to these resources is all a part of helping people to heal.
And meeting people where they are, meeting yes. people where their needs are. Mm-hmm. They may have a mental health disorder, but if that's not the primary issue that they need to have addressed with themselves or their family, mm-hmm. you can talk all day long and there's not going to be a connection. There's not going to be an absorption of the information. People are focused, particularly when they're under stressful situations, they're focused on what they need at that point in time.
And imagine a family not wanting to live with a mental health issue because of the stigma. And I tell families, regardless of where you are and what you've gone through, you can have the best education in the world, but stigma will creep in and still keep families from getting what they need. Access to care, it is one of the biggest barriers that people deal with. And when I talk about stigma, people think that it really, how does that impact anyone? But until you have someone laugh at your child or not want to play with your child, or you have a child in school who a teacher it has whispered about them in the break room about their health issue, it's unfortunate, but it happens so much. So I'm very glad that we're talking about this topic, because in the past it's been such a taboo discussion. And I've worked with the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation and met other people. Their conferences give family members an opportunity to come together and take a deep breath and release some of that pressure, release some of that stigma and bad feelings that they've carried. By doing so, you give communities an opportunity to have a new relationship with the systems of care. And I think that's very important, because we're all supposed to be working together.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you shared your connection with the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, because in this segment, I really want us to talk about all the various partnerships we have. As our listening audience has heard me say before, in my other life, I serve as the executive director of the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence, and we're a statewide membership organization that works with all of these organizations because we do believe in partnerships and collaboration to serve the constituents that belong to all of us. I mean, we're all trying to help families where they are, and maybe their child needs services from Greg's organization, maybe the adult needs some services from Carolyn's organization to understand mental health issues and suicide ideation. Maybe their whole family needs services from Tracy's organization, and maybe they want to learn more about getting culturally appropriate services and what that means from my organization. So as a group of individuals, we've identified these organizations that have that spirit of partnership, who have that need to serve the whole person and not have these walls or barriers amongst ourselves, but more importantly, not for the people that we're serving. So I want each of you to talk about some of your relationships with each other.
Well, I'll be glad to start off, Charlita. Tracy has worked with the foundation, was very instrumental in coming together with a small team of folks that looked at how we could become greater advocates around suicide prevention and helped us to create a toolkit that it is available for communities to use, and our coalitions do use it. And it really is from soup to nuts about learning to tell your story, speak from your voice, empower survivors of loss to find meaning again in their life, and then what that means to better helping to educate policymakers. You know, from writing letters to being in touch with your newspaper and writing editorials and looking at Recovery Month as a time for educating people that are making decisions about health-related issues such as depression, alcohol and drug abuse, suicide ideation. Our partnership with, MAC, or the Multi-Advocates for Cultural Competency Agency, has always been a great partnership. We're both statewide organizations. Senator Tavares was a founding member, is now a founding member emeritus of our organization, and the passion that MAC brings to the table about cultural specificity is critical when you're thinking about behavioral health illnesses. So often, well-meaning people who want to help out oftentimes misdiagnose, in particular, African Americans and our Latino brothers and sisters, and they don't get the care that they need. And if you're struggling and you're suffering from depression, the ache and the pain is so tremendous. So I really think it's important for us to champion for appropriate care for all Ohioans and making sure that people get the care that they need where they need it and with the specific culturally competent folks in the field of behavioral health. The other thing that I think are all working on right now is better understanding during these difficult financial times how we can share resources with each other, whether that means, you know, linking together on websites, making sure that we do trainings or be present for each other in championing the cause of each other's organizations. All of those things can make a difference for the community at large. And I think Tracy had spoke about being a resource, meeting people in the path that they're in. So often community members are lost as to who they should call. And at least if we know about each other's fields of study or product lines, we're able to connect then families, whole families, obviously, to the things that they need. And that's critical in this day and age because people are hurting. Economically, people are feeling extremely pressured, because of job loss. Just talked with a woman before I came over here today who has been without a job now for 27 months, about to lose her home.
She may not have been a person who had ever been without a job in her adult life, who lost a job and really doesn't know how to get into today's job market because it is totally different. It is mostly done online. And if you don't have those resumes that speak to whatever that employer is looking for, they're weeded out and they're dumped. They're not going to be called in for an interview. So that's a traumatic experience in and of itself to never get a phone call to come in for an interview. And like you said, 27 months, people start thinking there's something wrong with them instead of, I'm not aware of what the new skill sets are in order to even interview and be successful in getting into an interview.
That's right. And, you know, the foundation doesn't provide direct care. You know, we are a resource for the state to help connect dots for people. In particular, in this case, I was, you know, helping her to navigate in her community some of the resources that were necessary for her. And I think that's what our partnerships between all of us here today can help us do. And ultimately, Ohioans win when people work together.
And Greg, you wanted to talk about your partnership with the Suicide Prevention Foundation and some of the other organizations that are represented here.
Yes, exactly. I mentioned earlier that I think the first step for us was increasing an awareness about the link between substance abuse prevention, substance abuse, alcohol abuse, and suicide. And once we began to become aware of how closely they're related, then we thought, let's partner and see how we can begin to stem this tide and address this issue. You know, I was just really surprised when Carolyn came and spoke with our kids. Usually at the end of a session, they're out the door. And when I followed up with her and we talked and I saw how many kids stayed after the session to talk, I knew that there was a real need there. And I was just glad that we were able to become aware of that need. And so now we can bring some intentional focus about addressing those issues. And that's why we're particularly excited about the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation getting the SAMHSA grant and getting into the schools.
Well, we haven't addressed all of the many partnerships. Tracy and I work very, very closely together with the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence. We provide the infrastructure and support for Tracy and her organization to do the fine work that they're doing all across the state of Ohio. And I think that's important. And we're trying not to duplicate what other people are doing. We're trying to share what we have with other organizations so that they can be as strong as they can be as an organization. And Greg and Carolyn and I and a fourth partner, the Mental Health America of Franklin County, we worked, and I want you all to talk about this this office makeover we won.
There you go. Well, I mean, it's when two or more among us come together, great things can happen. I mean, I certainly didn't coin that. You know, I think our religious higher power has. But we had an opportunity. Laura Moskow-Siegel, Director of Mental Health America, Franklin County, happened to see an opportunity for us to have a technology makeover. She wrote a grant, wrote our shared a partnership into that grant, and through the help of many folks in our networks, our agency networks, we got first place and have got a $20,000 prize that's going to allow us to have a makeover, a technology makeover, as a result of this partnership. And so, really, I can't emphasize enough how important it is for community partners, statewide partners, to work together with each other. That's how we're going to better serve Ohioans, and that's how, in these difficult times, you know, when you have community people calling in and asking for your help, they don't want to be put through one more maze of complicated direction. They really need the help then and there, and if we're able to work with each other successfully, we'll be able to then share our successes and our techniques and our tools and our talents collectively with Ohioans. And I believe that that's what we're here to do, and that's what I wake up every day believing in. So I think partnership helps you all to succeed.
I totally agree, and I was just sitting here thinking about Tracy and the work that she's doing. And, you know, I think when the Ohio Department of Mental Health and you created your training curricula, mm-hmm. You were focusing in on the African-American faith community specifically. Mm-hmm. But I think as you found out, and you can share that, as you go around the state, there are other communities, other cultures who have tapped into what you're doing with Dancing Rivers mm-hmm. of Life, which is the curricula and the training workshop that you do. I want you to talk about how others have asked you to come in, even though they may not be the African-American faith community.
And let me say, I appreciate so much the partnerships, because what we do is really hard work. And oftentimes we need each other to encourage us and to continue the work, because there are days when my head is hanging low and I don't know how I'm going to make it, and I may get an email from one of my partners saying, just hang in there, you have me. So don't be mistaken, we're excited about the work we do, but there our times, because of the nature of the work we do, we need to be encouraged and we need support from each other outside of the products that we serve and share with our communities. One of the things that happened in my work is that in going into the African-American faith-based communities, there would be participants sitting there said, your work is great, but why do you focus so much on the African-American faith-based community? Because we fall in the cracks and we get lost because culturally we take care of ourselves, we take care of each other, and what we can't take care of, we cover up until we can figure a better way of doing things. And again, good intentions, we may do more harm than good to our family, friends, loved ones. So what I did, I went back to my funder and I went to Senator Tavares and I said, this is what I see and this is what I'd like to do. And with their support, I'm able to go in rural communities, suburban communities, Appalachian communities, and we're doing great work. And I'm so very thankful and proud of that work.
Well, we will talk more about that coming up next.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dogfighting in America. I'm Wayne Pacelli, president of the Humane Society of the United States. Help us stop this cruelty by putting dogfighting out of business. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
You're walking alone. A group of people is hanging out just ahead. Suddenly, they surround you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
Before you know it, you're being robbed. It's called a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants, and it can be violent. In times like these, trust your instincts. Don't become their next victim. Avoid suspicious groups. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings. To learn more about pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network.
And TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
This is State Senator Charlita Tavares, and we are on State News and Views on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Before the break, we were talking to Tracy Blackfall, and she is the executive director of Tova's Nest, and she was talking about some of her partnerships and her outreach to communities other than the African-American faith community. I think you want to share one of those partnerships.
One of the partnerships that we have, and we still have it currently, is Portsmouth, Ohio. It's a southern county, and they don't have a lot of resources. And what I did was I went to them because I saw the need, shared with them what I'd like to do with them, and they didn't believe it initially because why would someone come bring them free services? I contacted the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, shared the need as well. They partnered with me, with them, and with the credible organization that the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation we were able to bring in other partners, and we put on the most wonderful health fair for that community. We've been to St. Clairsville, which has a wonderful faith community. It's small, and we give them one of the things we do, we give the same product wherever we go. We have 20 people, we have 200 people. Everybody gets the same product. We've done work in Cincinnati. We have a project currently in Cleveland, and our focus is prevention versus crisis intervention, and that's we feel will help people from putting themselves in a position where they're in the emergency room and places like that. So our work, like I said, started with the African-American faith-based community, but it has expanded because of the need to homeless communities. We've done trainings for housing employees to better work with the people they serve. So it's been really great.
And even on that, Tracy, it's going where people feel a connection to you. They may hear you. They may be from another racial, ethnic, or cultural community and have come to one of your presentations. Mm-hmm. And as the one person shared with you, you know, we have these same kinds of issues. And many cultures, you know, they like to see and hear you in person and get a feel mm-hmm. for whether they think you're a person that really cares about them before they invite you into their community.
Yes.
And I know the Appalachian culture is that way, which is our southern, southeastern mm-hmm. part of the state. So your work is tremendous, and I really appreciate that you have reached out to the Suicide Prevention Foundation to bring those resources to them and their coalition.
And they're good resources. And one of the things we've been able to do also is when we need that additional guidance and support from the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence, from the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation, from the Ohio Department of Mental Health, to give you an example, we have supports within those agencies and organizations that can help us so that we can put out the best product. It's not all about what we want people to have. We want to make sure we have up-to-date research and data to support these communities.
Why don't you give our listening audience your web address and your phone number of how they can get in contact with you, or your email address?
You can reach me at Tova, TOVASNEST.org. That's TovasNest.org. Or you can reach me at TovasNest@AOL.com. I can also be reached by telephone at 614-337-1311.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Greg, I wanted to give you an opportunity as well to talk about some of the work that you're doing and maybe some upcoming programs to serve our youth.
Yeah, our primary focus at Community for New Direction is alcohol and drug prevention. And, you know, we talked about the fact that depression is the strongest risk factor for suicide, but I think substance abuse is right up there under depression. And as Tracy was talking about Southern Ohio, I thought about the high rate of prescription drug abuse down in that area, and we know that that leads to an increase in suicide
ideation.
And I thought Carolyn might want to speak about that.
Well, I think, you know, right now, particularly our the opiate and prescription drug abuse or misuse is a bit out of hand in our communities across the nation, but in particular in certain sections, Portsmouth, Ohio being one. Thank God Tracy has a great relationship with folks down there. But just across the state, southeastern section of the state struggles immensely. And one of the things that I think we're most concerned about as we talk about mental health professionals, drug and alcohol professionals, is making sure that when folks show up in emergency rooms, that it can't just be a handoff. We can't just, you know, for 24 hours get this person, you know, resuscitated or calmed down and then send them back out. Because what's going on here, folks, is lethal. And it's really hitting a young segment of people from age 15 to 26. And many times these are also soldiers, people that are returning, veterans.
Just as it was in Vietnam, coming back with heroin
with
addictions.
Multiple deployments, a lot of things colliding, and Greg's absolutely right. A second leading cause of suicide is substance use disorder, and oftentimes self-medicating because of the other ideations and psychological issues that are going on. So I think that I'm very concerned that many times when a suicide does occur, you know, they'll say it's an accidental death because it's related to the prescription drug overdose. And quite frankly, it could very well be a suicide. And I think we're going to have to work very hard with our professionals across the community, physicians, emergency rooms, crisis centers. And I think they're poised to do that here to make sure that we're connecting all the dots. And I think our partnerships around this table this afternoon allow us to do that and better serve Ohioans. I'd just like to, you know, put a plug in. We have a November 8th Annual Suicide Prevention Conference, November the 29th and 30th, and it is going to be a stellar conference. We've got Dr. Frank Campbell coming in, who is going to stay with us for 2 days, do a training of trainers on lost teams. So that's really like being the first responder when there is a suicide in your community, and coalitions will be asked to bring teams to the table. And then our second day really is a concentration on the Ohio Campaign for Hope and talking about the opportunities of how we can work with our educational partners, mental health partners, and community folks.
Can you give a phone number or email address, website, where people can register?
Our website is www.ohios, as in Sam, P as in Paul, F as in Frank, .org. My telephone number is 614, and it's 429-1528. Extension 1 is my extension. And then my email address is Carolyn Givens, so C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, Givens, G-I-V as in victory, E-N-S, at Ohio, SPF.org, and that's all ran together.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate your sharing that conference because it's very important that we get tooled with the skills to help our community members. Greg, do you have anything you want to share, upcoming events or ways that people can get their young people into the prevention programs that you're serving?
Well, absolutely. We provide services through in-school, after school, and then we have summer day camp. If they're interested in our after school program, they can contact us at 614-272-1464, and that's for youth ages 5 through 14. And the after school usually runs 3 to 6 p.m. Our website is www.cndonline.org. I'd like to plug our upcoming fundraiser.
Absolutely.
We have one fundraiser a year, and this year it is November 11th at the Columbus Sheraton at Capitol Square, formerly the Hyatt.
On Capitol Square.
Yes. And it is a luncheon event, and Clark Kellogg, CBS lead NCAA basketball announcer and former OSU standout and former NBA standout, is going to be our keynote speaker for the event. Tickets are $60. We had a great turnout last year. Charlita Tavares, Councilmember Charlita Tavares was our keynote speaker then. And
I enjoyed it. That was a great, I really enjoyed hearing the stories from the young people.
Yep, we'll do the same thing.
Good.
Each fundraiser, we award three $1,000 scholarships to three deserving students. And one of the students that's going to receive an award this year was actually just entered the University of Toledo in August. And before that, just had spent 3 years with the Department of Youth Services. And
that's a truly successful story.
Got out of the prison system, connected back with us.
Wow.
And with the support, really, of his parole officer, the Ohio Department of Youth Services, and us working together with them and with his family. You know, unbelievable story to see somebody turn their lives around like that. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be there, and I hope that our listening and viewing audience, because, again, as you said, this is a fundraiser. It's tax deductible outside of the cost of the meal, so they'll have that information to share with you, you know, what the meal cost is versus what the contribution is to the organization. But it's really important that we support these organizations that are supporting our community and saving our children and saving their families from, you know, devastation with suicide, and certainly with not having the right tools to diagnose and to get the treatment for their behavioral health issues. So we thank you for sharing both the November the 11th and the November 29th and 30th with the Suicide Prevention Foundation. Tracy, is there anything that's coming up that you want to share?
We have the conference coming up this month, the 28th, 29th, and 30th, which is the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence, and partnering with the National Leadership Council on African American Behavioral Health. It's a wonderful conference looking at research and looking at families and consumers, persons in recovery. It's going to be a wonderful three-day conference. Wonderful speakers. We have a chef coming in to prepare food, talking about the origins of food. It's just really going to be nice.
And we have Dr. King Davis coming in. And again, Tracy is on the board of the National National Leadership Council on African American Behavioral Health. And so she's serving as a board member to the organization that we're co-sponsoring the conference with. We also have Terry Williams, who is the author of Black Pain. And as Tracy said, it's research, but it's also identifying in the various systems how to address these disparate conditions amongst African-American and other racial ethnic communities. So we look forward. And then we have on Friday for lunch, we have our Enlightened Kaleidoscope Award, which we give annually to a leader in erasing disparities and raising cultural competence and best practices for communities throughout the state. And this year's award recipient is Dr. Cora Munoz, who has done an outstanding job as a former member of the Ohio Commission on Minority Health and just retired from Capital University as an assistant professor in the College of Nursing. And so she will now be doing full-time all that she's been doing in a full-time capacity as a retired person. So we look forward to awarding her. I do want to share with our listening audience that you can hear the replays of today's informational session on TalkTainmentRadio.com. This is the way radio should be heard. You can get the podcast. You can share it with your friends and neighbors and relatives. I also want to share that we have a wonderful article in this month's edition of the Columbus African American News Journal on suicide. Yours truly wrote the article because of my relationship with the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation and my own family member, my brother, who completed suicide. And I wanted to share with others what we went through, what my mother and I went through in identifying resources and services to meet the needs of our family. And so that article is in there. This month's edition is focused in on issues around the family and the importance of identifying those resources that will help families be whole and successful and provide for their self and their children. So I wanted to make that plug. And again, you can reach me at SD15, S as in Sam, D as in dog, 15 at mail, M-A-I-L-D, mail D, dot sen, dot state, dot O-H, dot U-S, or call my office at 614-466-5131. That's 466-5131. And if you've got some ideas for upcoming shows, please feel free to call us. I will give you information on an ongoing basis about what's going on in our community, but more importantly, information you can use to help you and our community do the very best we can for each other. Also remind you, you can get on our mailing list for our monthly newsletter, the Tavares Times News. It comes out every month, and you can get either on the email distribution list or the regular U.S. post office mail if you choose not to go via the email. Again, call my office or email me at the address given. I appreciate all of you coming on and sharing with our listening audience the important information. Again, you're all available. You've given your phone numbers, your email addresses, your websites. Remember that November we have some very important activities taking place with the Ohio Suicide Prevention Foundation on November 29th and 30th. And then on November 11th, the Community for New Directions. And then September the 28th through the 30th, the National Leadership Council on African American Behavioral Health and the Multi-Ethnic Advocates for Cultural Competence, our statewide conference. So thank you all very much. We look forward to having you all back on to talk about some other exciting partnerships. Any closing remarks before we...
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
You're quite welcome. Anytime you can come back on, and if you've got some other ideas that you want to share, please feel free to do that. Again, I'm State Senator Charlita Tavares, and this is TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. Thank you for listening to State News and Views with State Senator Charlita Tavares right here on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Information is power. Use it. Use it.
President Pro Tem, I'd love to speak. Mr. Speaker, Governor, I'd love to ask you a question.
I disagree with the governor on this issue.
I agree with the governor on this.
Thank you for listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com on WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM. Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.